Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church. We're glad you're with us today. And visitors are especially welcome today, and we hope you come back to visit us on a regular basis. If you're interested in finding a new church home, please speak to our pastor Jane or to one of the elders. Also, if you will sign the attendance books at the end of the aisles and pass them down. We have famous people in our midst. Congratulations to David Harrington, who is this year's Smithville Citizen of the Year. Congratulations, David. And also, Charlie King received a second place ribbon at the Austin Regional Science Fair yesterday in Austin. So, and we'd also like to welcome Dr. Marsh and his wife and friends for visiting. They were with our Sunday school class today, and very interesting, and we thank you for coming. Those of you that have been here for a while, Dr. Marsh is also the father of Judy Kelly and Jack and Connor. Jack now is 13, Connor is 11, so if you want to really feel old today. So, anyway, but we're glad all of you are with us today. Please keep John Saunders in your prayers. He is in Seton Hospital with pancreatitis and gallbladder problems, and last night was moved into the ICU. Have you heard anything more this morning? Okay. So,
actually, the CCU.
CCU, the cardiac care unit, as opposed to the ICU. Okay. So his heart is now starting to. Okay. All right. So keep John in your prayers. Deacons, I believe, will meet on Wednesday at 5:30. It's on my calendar. Go ahead, Mason, what you got?
This weekend, we started Wednesday. Me and Hunter and the whole Smithville debate team went to Mahaya to compete in the national qualifying tournament. And we ended up winning the whole thing. We have the most points in the nation out of any school.
So. Wow. So see, all that debating was worth it, right, Lisa? Now, mark your calendars for our Fat Tuesday Pancake Supper and Ash Wednesday services. They will be on Tuesday, March the 8th. The supper will begin at 5:30, and the services will begin at 6:30. Tonight at 6, First Baptist Church is sponsoring a concert by Susie McIntyre, who is the sister of Reba McIntyre, and all are invited. I've heard that she does a very good concert. Next Sunday will be our celebration of feast. We will celebrate communion, take up collections for the food pantry, and have our covered dish luncheon. So plan on that. And this week in your prayers, please keep the members of Mission Presbytery. The meeting of Presbytery will be this Friday and Saturday in San Antonio, and part of the order of business will be to vote on amendments to the Book of Order. So please keep everyone that's going to that in your prayers. And also a thank you to Kathy and Alan Ford for hosting the choir's Easter retreat to go over our Easter music. And it's not too late to join the choir. If you would like to sing, you do not have to be talented in any way. We do need sopranos. And if you're one or if you know of one who would like to do, please come and join us. And the rehearsal times are listed on the back of your bulletin. So we're going there. All right.
I got news, I got news, I got news, oh.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship, which you will find printed in your bulletin. Do not worry about your life, for we are held in the palm of God's hand.
We gather this day as people of hope, striving to trust in God's care.
Do not fret about the clothes you will wear, for we are clothed in the loving compassion of Christ.
We gather this day as people of hope, striving to trust in God's grace.
Do not think about what you will eat, for we are filled with the Spirit of God.
We gather this day as people of hope, striving for the kingdom of God.
Let us pray. God of constant care and compassion, grace us this day with your presence. Help us lay aside our burdens and trust in your love, that we may be led by your guiding hand and clarifying light. Aid us as we seek your heavenly hopes for this earth, that we may be children of your womb and reflections of your light and life. Amen. Our opening hymn is in the green hymnal, number 21, This Is My Father's World. God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. And the confession is responsive. Thank you, that word left me quick. Sing for joy with heaven and earth.
But we are haunted by worry.
Break forth into song with the mountains and hills.
But we are caught in valleys of darkness.
Trust in our God who cares for us all.
But we are burdened by loads too heavy to bear.
God cares for our burdens and lifts up our hearts.
But we are weary and lonely for help.
Thank you. Trust in Christ Jesus, who has borne all our grief and has written our names in the palm of God's hand. We are forgiven, cared for, and loved.
Sing for joy with earth and earth. We are forgiven, cared for, and loved.
The children come up front, please. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Reflecting upon today's scriptures and messages of hope, let us examine the worries that haunt our lives. Let us release our burdens to God and be free. Do not worry, but hope in our God, whose caring compassion is enough. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 8 through 16a. Listen for the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, At the time of my favor, I have answered you. On the day of salvation, I have helped you. I have formed you and have appointed you to be the covenant for a people, to restore the land, to return ravaged properties, to say to prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roadway they will gaze, and any bare height will be their pasture. They will never hunger or thirst. Scorching wind and sun will never plague them, for he who pities them will lead them, will guide them to springs of water. I shall turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways will be raised aloft. Look, here they come from far away. Look, these from the north and the west, those from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, you heavens, earth exalt, mountains break into joyful cries, for the Lord has consoled his people, is taking pity on his afflicted ones. Zion was saying, the Lord has abandoned me, the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her baby at the breast, feel no pity for the child she has born? Even if these were to forget, I shall not forget you. Look, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for our next hymn, number 349, Seek Ye First. We continue this morning with an excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount. And so I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord as I read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear?
For it is the Gentiles who strive after all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A number of years ago, one of my favorite stores was having a sale, and a friend and I made plans to go. But when I went to pick her up, she wasn't ready. She handed me a cup of coffee and went back to putting on her makeup. This was North Dallas, you understand. I sat on her patio waiting, fretting over the lost shopping possibilities. There was a particular pair of shoes I wanted, and I had been waiting for them to go on sale. And now, someone else just might beat me to them. And as I sat there, fretting, a bird settling on the branch of a nearby tree caught my eye. Wasn't anything special, just your average little brown sparrow going about her little birdie business. But I had nothing else to do. Did I mention my friend was late? So I watched this sparrow perched on a tree limb. And as I did, Matthew 6:26 came to mind. It's one of the hazards of doing Bible study. These verses pop up at the most inconvenient times. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? Well, yes, I thought, but then they don't have to wait for a sale to get cute new feathers from Birdman Marcus either. I glared at the bird, and then I noticed something. She had only one leg. Yet that didn't seem to affect her. She hopped up and down the limb, singing, pausing occasionally to peck at something. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Could I ever be like that sparrow, I wondered, living the life for which God created me in spite of my imperfections? Don't worry about where your next meal is coming from, about what you're going to wear, about whatever, Jesus said. Who? Me? How can I or you not worry? We all know that food, shelter, and clothing are essential to life. And we know that those things don't just drop from the skies. They don't just appear on our doorsteps. There hasn't been manna around on the ground for quite a while now. And even if there was, we'd probably start whining just like those first folks did. We have to work for what we need. We have to earn the money to purchase those things. And we need jobs in order to earn that money. And we have to plan for the day when we will no longer be able to work. Worry? Oh, yes, we worry. And in a sermon full of unrealistic, if not impossible, expectations, here comes some more. And it's not surprising, then, that we tend to brush off Jesus' teachings as good, but not very practical. Not something we can live by every day of our lives. Who? Me? I don't think so. But grace doesn't give up that easily. And we find ourselves looking at one-legged sparrows hopping along a branch or wildflowers blooming in the ditch, and we begin to wonder if just maybe such things are possible. Who, me? Well, maybe. And as I've come again to this great inaugural sermon of Jesus, at least as Matthew's chronology goes, and particularly as this time I have studied it more closely with the Old Testament readings, I have realized that there is a serious problem with chopping up what we call the Sermon on the Mount into what amounts to spiritual hors d'oeuvres and just taking a little taste before we go on to something else. And I know that no one is going to sit around while any preacher covers three chapters of Matthew in a single sermon. But we must never forget that we miss much of the nuance of Jesus' teachings by studying just a few verses at a time. For instance, when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," at the very beginning of this sermon, he wasn't telling people something new. He was affirming the identity they had been given centuries earlier. He was reminding them that as God's people, they had been called from the very beginning to a particular task. Why? Because I am God and there is no other. God's purpose is for all humankind, since any other gods people devise are false. And this truth defines the role and the mission of the people of God. Because God's people of all times and in all places are to serve God as prophet to all people everywhere, as witnesses to all people everywhere, as light to all people everywhere, as covenant, signs of God's grace to all people everywhere. Who, me? Yes, you. And that is why taking the Sermon on the Mount seriously is important. God's people, and that includes us, need to live in such a way that others see the one true God at work in our lives. Not that we go around cornering people and saying, "Let me tell you why I'm right and you're wrong." That they can see in our lives that what we do speaks much more than what we can possibly say. In a world consumed by worry over the scarcity of resources, if you don't believe it, go out and drive by the nearest gas station. We need to exhibit our faith in God's economy that is based on love rather than fear. We need to live in the abundance of God's grace. We need to live lives of confidence and trust in God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's love. And we can do that when we follow those seemingly impossible teachings. Who, me? Yeah, you. Yes, me. Yes, all who claim to be a child of God. A prophet came to the people of God in exile in Babylon with words of hope. Words which seemed as unlikely to them as Jesus' words do to us. "I have appointed you to be the covenant for a people, to give hope to those without hope." Israel, a people who cannot see their way out of bondage, is called to sing and rejoice. "Shout for joy, you heavens. Earth exalt. Mountains break into joyful cries because God is at work. There is cause for hope. Despite their human failings, despite their limited circumstances, God was with them. God was at work in their midst. God had plans for them. They were a gift from God, a pledge of God's love for the world, a covenant. Now, the word covenant must have been difficult to utter in exile when the signs of its reality had been obliterated, because God's people could not see beyond their current situation any more than we sometimes can. No, this community responds to this instruction. The Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me. Now, we get that. That makes sense to us. We know that feeling because we've all had it. Sometimes it happens when we've gone away from God's will for our lives. And we pretty much know there's a reason for a sense of God's absence. But it can also happen when we are trying our dead level best to live as God's children. And still, there is this promise of Scripture that comes that says God will not and God cannot forget us. That God's bond with us, God's love for us, is greater than that of a parent for a child. Who? Me? Yes, you and me and all of us. Jesus reminds us that no one can serve two masters. Our freedom is not in being our own master. Our freedom is in choosing which master we will serve. Because there are a lot of masters out there. There's power, hatred, greed, our own bodies, and only one will be the true master. Everything else in our lives will ultimately be subservient to that one, and we can give ourselves to any of them. Perhaps at times we have, or we can choose a relationship with God. The God who is infinite and whose love for us and all creation is infinite as well. And this is the world that Jesus invites us into. This world of abundance, of generosity, and new life. Who? Me? Yes. All of us. Not just all of us here today, not just all of us in the PCUSA, not just all of us who claim the name of Jesus, but all of us. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. But it's also a world of fragility, of trust, and of vulnerability. Lilies and birds, after all, can't defend themselves, but live by God's providence and love. Their lives unfold according to God's plan in God's time. Sparrows, one-legged sparrows, land on tree branches at just the right time. And this is the world God's people are called to inhabit, the kingdom that we are called to seek. That won't happen all at once, but that's okay. Tomorrow is not a concern because God is already there. We just have to get through today, and we can. Today, We can live in anticipation of the fulfillment of God's promises. We can live in anticipation and expectation of the inbreaking kingdom of God. And as we do, we become a waiting community. And through our very waiting, experience the transforming power of God to conform us to God's own image until all people everywhere see God's love in us. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and say what we believe using the words from the Apostles' Creed found on page 14 of the Blue Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to pray silently as I give voice to our prayers. Gracious and loving God, give us this day the ability to trust your promises, to believe that we can live into this kingdom to which you are calling us, that there can be a place and a time where we don't spend as much time worrying about what we're going to wear or what we're going to eat as we do spend time looking at your world, perhaps asking our question, what will they eat? How can I help? Guide us this day as we seek to become more like you, as we recognize the call on our lives to be gift to the world, not because of our specialness, but simply because we have heard your voice. We ask that you be with this community this day. We give you thanks for the good things that happen within it, for the work that so many do to help so many others. We lift up particularly this morning among all of those who are ill and struggling with disability and disease, John Saunders and his family and those who will care for him. We ask that you restore him to health and bring him back to us. We pray for caregivers, for those people who do the things that a lot of us don't want to do, but minister to other people. We pray also for those who put themselves in danger for our sakes, for our military, police, firefighters, others who labor totally obscurely, those places that we don't even realize where people are working to make our lives safer or more convenient. We ask you this day to watch over our people, to speak to their hearts, to guide them and direct them. We do indeed pray for the presbytery as it meets, that you will give wisdom and discernment, that in that meeting we can act as a gathered body of your children with concern for one another, the willingness to listen to the other, that we are able to put aside needs to be right and place in their spot the need to love. Watch over us and keep us as we go from this place. Hear our prayer this morning, O Lord, as we make our request known to you in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When we try to serve both God and money, we only create burdens of worry and stress. Let us release ourselves from our bondage by sharing and giving generously, remembering that all we have and all we are is a gift and a trust from God. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. Compassionate God, imbue these gifts with your grace and your care. Inscribe your very name on the ministries and the people that these gifts will support. Let them become signs of hope for those in despair, a light for the journey when darkness descends. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 590, Rise Up, O Saints of God.